Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday.
It's that time of the week again.
To our favorite things.
Yay!
Now, this is a very exciting favorite things, because usually when we talk about a favorite thing, it's usually somebody who's been dead for about 85 years or so.
Mm-hmm, this is true.
That no one remembers. But our favorite thing this week is actually still alive. Young, probably our youngest guest by maybe 60 years or so.
Ooh,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Young and cute and fresh, and he is the wonderful Ben Rimmelauer.
Hi.
Welcome.
Now, you probably know Ben's name if you read Playbill, or if you're a fan of Patty Issues, or if you're a fan of Bad with Money, which I want to talk about in depth because I got to see Bad with Money. I cannot tell you how moved I was.
These are Ben's cabaret
Are Ben's cabaret shows that Ben writes himself and then stars in, although Robin De Jesus took over for you at one point.
And
is that correct?
Issues. Actually, a few people have done Patty Issues.
That's cool.
We're going to talk about that in a hot second. But Ben is as just a big of a musical theater fan as we are, if not more so.
The ultimate honor.
So we're going to
congratulations.
That's right.
And, I mean, I'm going to run through. Ben, do we want to talk about all the different awards that you've won for this?
No, we do not.
Are you sure?
They're of no account.
Oh, okay, then we're going to act like you're not in the room for a second while I read some of these off.
Just go for it.
The Advocate's number one solo show of 2014. Patty
I don't think
Issues.
That's an award.
That's Ooh, it is, though.
It's an award.
It's an honor nonetheless.
You got
the greatest,
boy butter
the
and
greatest
poppers.
Prize is my invitation to be with you guys today.
Oh, man, I'm blushing. He also won the New York Times Critics Pick, Mac and Bistro Awards, Adelaide Cabaret Festival, Eugene O'Neill. My God, this list goes on and on.
Well, I wrote it.
Well,
the shows and the press release.
I love it. So we're going to start at the beginning. Ben is incredibly talented, but Ben, where are you from originally?
I was born in New York. I was born in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And we moved to New York when I was 4, and then we moved to California when I was 5 to L.A., and I grew up in L.A., and I want to do that.
Yeah.
Take the mic out. Cabaret
yeah,
style.
Casual.
Yes.
I grew up in L.A., and anybody from out of town like me? And nobody, well. These are visual jokes that don't play on a podcast. But I came back here after college, and I've been back for 18 years.
Where was college?
UC Berkeley.
Okay.
In Northern Cali.
How did you fall in love with musical theater living all the way in California?
Well, it started when I was little and lived here. I mean, I saw a bunch of Broadway shows when I was a kid, you know, ones that were mostly age appropriate,
right.
Which excluded Evita, which I was obsessed with from the amazing commercials.
You mean like the 2 minute long?
Yes.
It was like an infomercial for Evita.
It was like an infomercial.
Yeah.
Not quite 2 minutes. It was longer than commercials are today.
Yes.
Yes, and it had footage from the show, which I guess they don't really do very often.
No,
not anymore. Yeah. Not so much anymore.
Special shot footage. You know, as Patty said, it's in the Smithsonian. So when they asked her to screen test for the movie back in the early '80s, she said, "Roll the commercial."
What? So was that? So you did not see Evita, or you did
not until years later, and by then it was no longer.
So then
Ms.
that
LuPone.
Commercial would have. Could have been the first time you ever saw Patty LuPone.
It was indeed, absolutely.
Oh.
And your heart fluttered. A tiny
it
bit.
It fluttered in all kinds of different ways.
Ooh.
You know, I was terrified of her,
yeah.
And I was attracted to her, and I was electrified by her, electrocuted
electrocuted
by her.
Now, besides Evita, what other cast recordings were you listening to growing up? What else was prized possessions?
Well, for a spell, I wasn't. I got really obsessed again, like, when I was, like, 13, and it started with Andrew Lloyd Webber, because Phantom was very big in L.A., with Michael Crawford and Judy Kaye also. Both of them came out to L.A., from Phantom, I went to the Andrew Lloyd Webber Premier Collection, which led me to Evita, which was with Julie Covington, but then that led me to Patty, and as I talk about in the show, that was my true heart's content. But I simultaneously with discovering all the other Patty albums, I was going to, you know, all the other Patty cast albums, I was going to the other Lloyd Webber shows, and then Patty sang Being Alive, so I went to all the Sondheim shows,
yeah.
And then I was into Bernadette, so
Patty
Mac
was
and
your
Mabel.
Gateway drug, but
yes,
like,
yes.
It
oh,
really,
exactly.
No, she really was.
And
she,
remains
like,
my
paved
drug of
the
choice.
Way to all your other musical theater
totally,
encounters.
Which are widespread.
Yeah.
So, Patty.
Sorry,
Bernadette.
Yes, I interrupted. Yeah.
No. You didn't interrupt at all.
So, Patty led the way to Bernadette.
Well, I have a long list. I mean, I have a list on my email drafts of diva rankings. Number one, Judy Garland. Number two, Patti LuPone. Number three, Liza Minnelli. Four, Barbara Streisand. And then the list goes on and on.
Liza's three. Okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. Good. All
so,
right.
So, wait. Judy, Patty, Liza?
Yeah.
In that order? Wow.
I know,
and then Barbara.
And then Barbara at four. Listeners, how do we feel about this ranking? Who did not make the top five? Is there anyone on the top five that...
Okay, so number four, who did I say? Number four is Barbara.
Yeah.
And number five, I think, is Elaine. I can't remember.
I love that.
If it's not Elaine, it might be Barbara Bernadette. Cook. No, I don't think Bernadette's in the top five. She's in the top 10 for certain.
Of course.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder who did not make the top 10. Now I'm curious.
Elaine Page.
Oh, no.
She's in the top 40.
She's in the top 40. With the British to American, you know, exchange
rate. Yeah.
She just
sure.
has
to No,
go
there's,
down
there
a
are
bit.
Brits, but, you know, she's not in the top.
Okay, so you fall in love with Evita. You fall in love with
I also have, by the way, a diva list in order of birth date. Because I like to have easy reference of the relative ages of them.
Oh, yeah.
So you,
Bob's like, pause, record on this.
I love learning people's obsessions.
So you love ranking things.
I love, oh, my God, I live
okay,
for
so
it.
Let
okay,
me,
while we're on that,
yes.
When I was in high school, I have to show you guys the visual, but I made a chart of all the different recordings of Evita that I had, which were plentiful.
We're talking international recordings?
Yeah, Korean,
like
the whole thing. Of course,
yeah.
All of them. Israeli, Korean, you know, Australian, South African, et cetera, et cetera. And was listed by song and then by character within the song, which were ranked. And it was like a GPA thing where, like, the highest score was... Or was it the other way around?
It was like algorithms.
It was an algorithm. And then there were averages. So, like, so Patty did come out as the best Evita mathematically, but she was not the best in every single number, you know, and it was a very complicated system.
I picture that A Beautiful Mind was originally written about Ben and Patty.
And is Evita like, analytics. Yes. I mean, the analytics of your Evita.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I was really popular and had a lot of friends.
Well, we were the same way. We totally understand that.
Are you kidding me? I was playing show tunes at a piano all day long.
I wish I had played piano.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a moron for not
now,
studying.
You don't sing, right? Is that correct?
Well, I'm taking voice lessons now.
Good
I mean,
job.
You can tell by the placement this morning.
Yes, like you're breathing deeply.
I love to sing. I had struggled with, you know, musical issues all my life, pitch and... Mostly pitch, but I'm working on it. I sang in a show at the Beachman last week. It was Richard Skipper Celebrates.
Oh.
Yes.
And so I sang the song that I open. Neither of my shows are both solo plays. They're not singing.
Right, there's
but,
no singing.
But I do open Bad With Money singing the Judy Garland song, I'd Like to Hate Myself in the Morning. So I sang that with a band at Richard Skipper Celebrates, and I think I did pretty well. But then after the little interview, he came out and did a duet with me of that. And he was as soon as someone starts singing harmony, I just can't.
Can't follow
find
it.
Pitch anymore.
Understandable.
So that was not cute.
I can't follow pitch
Ron
of some.
You were charming.
Yeah, but you were very charming.
I might have been charming, but I was not good.
Doesn't stop a lot of people though. Doesn't
no,
stop a lot of people.
No, it's not going to stop me. Listen.
No.
I'll never know if I was talented or not. I'll only know that I'll get better every day that I work hard, and that if I stay in the business long enough, I have a good chance of making it, talent or not.
Truth.
That's beautiful.
Talent
that should be
helps.
On a t-shirt.
a nice shirt. A long sleeve tee.
It's on my long johns that I wear every night while I sing Paint Your Wagon before I go to bed.
I love Paint Your Wagon. It's one of my favorite scores ever.
What
Rob.
Do they call the wind? I forget.
God, I love it.
Maria?
I love all of
I
that
used to love,
score.
I used to love having kids audition for me and like, I'm going to sing They Call the Wind Maria.
No way. They did
I
not.
Swear to
they
God.
Did not do
I
that.
I swear to God. That was one of the best things I ever saw. They call the wind Maria and a kid that kept singing from Guys and Dolls the song Fudge for Tin Horns.
You're such a liar.
I swear to you, and I used to videotape my auditions. I'll dig up some of the archival
Would
copies.
You please?
You can all watch Fudge for
what
Tin
What was
Horns.
Your favorite audition you ever saw?
Oh, geez. Well, Ben, first of all, thanks for having me on your podcast.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It.
I'm thrilled. I'm such a fan. I'm glad you could join me.
My favorite audition, very quickly, was the young man who said, I'd like to sing the opening of Les Mis for you. And I thought, oh,
the
man.
Opening of Les Mis.
Like, look down. Look
oh, no, he didn't even do look down. He did the part where Valjean decides he's going to steal the candlesticks, runs away and is immediately brought back by the cops, and then the priest forgives him. He did all of that. He started with, and now I take my flight! And he ran into the wings and ran back on stage.
You're lying.
And he was cop number one.
He was the constable.
Cop number,
I was constable number
you were the
two.
Constable.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you could have joined him. And Valjean.
Tell his reverence your story.
Yeah,
let
everything.
Us see if he's impressed.
Remember
everything.
This, my brother. Seeing this, I'm higher
plural. Yes.
Yeah,
but we're the honest person. Yes.
But what you guys are saying is that
it could do it.
You guys could do it. But his genius was he did it all by himself.
Genius.
Oh, and a cappella.
Well,
a cappella.
I mean, what musician could keep up with such genius?
But that's my favorite audition that I've ever
as well
seen.
As good.
What's your favorite audition? Because you music direct a lot.
I have, and I remember an audition in Jersey with my friend Derek Kobe, and I think Allison Blackwell was there, and we were auditioning people for a production of Showboat, and this man came in and sang My Funny Valentine, and he started at the far side of the room. By the time he sang it all to Allison, and by the time he finished, he was making love to her while singing it. And so he
like
was
with his penis.
Well,
yeah,
it
was
well, like his body. He was like giving
this is
like
uncomfortable. Where were you?
Yes, it was.
Well,
very
I was comfortable. Do you have pictures?
But he worked his way. He like beelined for her, and I'm looking at Ben right now. Like I'm like, mm.
I
and,
can
and,
feel
and
the
yeah.
heat.
Oh yeah, lots of heat. And by the time he was finished, he was on the table leaning over to her, singing My Funny
Valentine.
Oh, that's
uncomfortable.
It was pretty awkward.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as yours, but it was still special.
What about you? Do you audition? Did you ever audition?
Oh, yeah, because I was a director for years. I mean, I still direct.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've seen a million auditions.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, my favorite is so less weird, and or maybe it is. It's as nerdy as I am, but in a less gay way than I usually am. Or I don't know.
Lay it on us. Lay it on us.
I had somebody come in. I don't even remember who it was, but they sang that song the band played on.
Yeah.
And the accompanist was Jasper Grant. I don't know if you guys know him. I'll never forget his playing of the band, just the piano. Mm. I just remember sitting there in this audition and being like, I've never enjoyed music more.
Oh, wow.
It
I
was
love
just
that
the
feeling.
Most beautiful. The way I just never forget the way the piano sounded. And I was like, I should be paying for this. And then our casting director was like, you are.
that's a beautiful story.
Beautiful
that's
story.
A very beautiful story.
I'm just a very sweet, beautiful person.
I like
beautiful
it.
Mind. You know?
I want. Yeah. Speaking of beautiful mind, I want to jump back to those listicles
yes.
for a second that
yes.
you do. So how often do you do a listicle?
They don't really want listicles anymore. I think they burned it out for a while.
So you probably recognize Ben's name from Playbill because Ben used to write a bunch of articles for Playbill.
Doing
and
it
you
weekly
still,
for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it used to be like, these are the 10 shows that should be revived, or these are the 10 best things. What was your favorite list that you ever created?
Oh, you know, I think my favorite was the top 10 Barbara Streisand albums. Because, you know, there are so many Barbara Streisand albums. And I have very specific, passionate opinions about them. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that, like, love Barbara that are like, I only like her early work. And,
right.
Like, Funny Girl and, like,
right.
the Cabaret
when
albums,
she was
you know.
Really funny.
Yeah, you know. And then there's people that are like, you know, oh, my God, Barbara Streisand, we're getting tickets because she was saying The Way We Were and Evergreen, you know. And I feel like my feelings for Barbara are a more nuanced mixed bag about all the different phases, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So what
and
was
Richard J. Alexander, while he didn't completely... By the way, you guys need to have him on.
Oh, yeah.
The
no, we've talked to him.
Yes.
We've had little tweet wars back
he,
and
of course,
forth,
did not agree with everything I said, but he supported me in some of my decisions, which made me feel that I had really
oh, no,
got
he's
done
truly
right.
is the...
What was
yes.
the most controversial thing that you put out there?
In all the columns? Oh, I got in big trouble one time. This is so embarrassing. I'm like pretty much like hated by the Asian American theater community in New York, which if you look at my love life is just really bad news. But
what did you do?
Okay, so I wrote a column. The funny, it's actually the one you gave as just a generic example. It was 10 musicals that are overdue for a revival. One of them was Miss Saigon. This was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought I was being, you know, I was always trying to find ways to make it funny and
yes,
keep it moving.
Of course,
you know,
yes,
so
yes.
I said I wrote it as a letter to dear Cameron Mackintosh, asking him to bring over the then current London revival of Miss Saigon. And it started with a long, over-worded apology to him for what happened with Miss Saigon the first time, because my joke basically was like a lot of us little theater queens, Sondheim nerds, we've spent 20 years throwing shade at Miss Saigon. Oh, darling, those lyrics. Oh, no, no, no.
Yes.
But after 20 years of crappy, tuneless musicals, you go back to Miss Saigon and you're like, this show's great.
I know every lyric by heart.
Totally. So, you know, and that's indeed the way I have felt since the show's been back on Broadway. So I basically said that, which I thought was really clever and funny, and then I apologized for the little snafu that we raised, the little hullabaloo over the casting thing. Now, I did not realize that Jonathan Pryce had literally been in, not only yellowface figuratively, but had been wearing makeup to look Asian on stage. So that was even more offensive than I thought it would be, and to be fair, I really had not given fair credence to the experience of Asian American actors, you know?
Sure.
And it's like when people say, if you're not black, you don't know what racism against blacks feels like. And I was sort of like, okay, I get that. But then I started thinking about it's really true. I was thinking about like the entitlement when I see straight couples kissing on the street, you know? And even if these are people that are super open and liberal and would be happy to see me kiss a man on the street, I have so much baggage about kissing a man on the street. And I have certain feelings about the entitlement of straight people doing that. And I realize this is unique to my experience as a gay man, and I can't understand what black people feel like. And I can't understand what it is to be an Asian American actor seeing a white dude play this part. Also, to be fair, I had so written off Miss Saigon all those years that I didn't really understand that the engineer wasn't white, because I thought he was white because Jonathan Pryce played him.
Oh, no, that makes total sense.
Well, and they said he was Eurasian, so I was like, he's mixed. Right. But Jonathan Pryce isn't mixed. Anyway, the column went up, and there was an immediate backlash. And, of course, it happened on the day that, like, all the Playbill editorial staff was, like, on vacay.
Oh, God.
So, and I was, like, I think I went to a matinee or something. I was like, off my phone for, like, 6 hours, and I came back, and the world hated me. And I wrote an apology, and I think, like, you know, I think that's probably the reason that Conrad Rickamora and I haven't gotten married.
Was that your first time encountering what social media backlash can...
Yeah, I think maybe it
was. In our little niche world.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly the first time I really stepped in it hardcore. Yeah. I mean, the truth is, like, you know, I'm not famous, so I kind of like any form of attention. So when people would take me to task for things I wrote in my Come On Playbill, I was like, actually, no, I don't like when Audra sings that song. Like, I was just happy to, like, have a back and forth.
Yeah.
So this was the first time I was like, oh, Lord, save me. What did I do? Help me climb out of this. You know, and then it's difficult because then... Even when you say the right thing, even if, I mean, I really felt that I'd been educated and my mind had been open, but if you're saying the thing they want to hear, it's not sort of like too little too late.
Yeah.
But, you know, better than not, so whatever.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating. Now, your shows, there's a persona. There's a Ben persona. Did you have any inspiration growing up? Were there any actors that you loved?
Patty Ann Lupone.
And that was it. And you draw on her. What is it about her that is so magical to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I talk about it a little bit in the show. I mean, I had a hard childhood. My father had a lot of problems and was very dramatic, and there's a lot of drama in my family like that. So I think it makes sense that I gravitated towards these sort of dramatic, scary women, you know, Joan Collins on Dynasty and The Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz and Scarlett O'Hara and Evil Lyn when I was playing with my He-Man figures. You know, it's like, I think that the combination of strength and attitude with some kind of femininity felt like a empowering to me, you know, because I didn't feel masculine and I felt unempowered, you know, and so I could, these were my pet dragon that I could relate to that I felt were on my side, you know, and I think the ultimate that I really, combination of it being in musical theater was Patty as Evita really was the ultimate embodiment of that energy for me and continues to be in everything she does, on and off stage.
Has she seen the show?
Yeah, she's seen both my shows.
And well, first of all, is that a nerve-wracking experience?
Yes, it was quite nerve-wracking.
To say the least.
And what was the experience like afterwards?
Amazing. I mean, you know, she was so supportive. And, you know, Patty actually had, I've known her for a long, long time, and she's always been very supportive of me, except for the one time she wasn't.
Which is covered in the show,
which is when I was doing Leslie Kritzer's Patty LuPone and Les Mouches, which I conceived and directed. And Patty was supportive of that.
Which was, to our listeners who may not know, Leslie Kritzer performing the exact concert that Petty had done at the venue.
Yes, exactly. Venue. Which, you know, and people could come see it. It was like going back in time to Les Mouches. Right. And we were very successful.
Which at the time, it was
a
very, I remember it was.
Oh, it was a big deal. It was everywhere.
I mean, it was very
talked
about.
That
was
the thing. Patty was supportive, and then it kind of exploded, and then she realized she had second thoughts about this iteration of herself being such a thing in the ether. But she's always been very supportive. But still, you know, I directed a play off Broadway called Joy that she came to see, and I sat next to her, and she came and took pictures and met with the cast afterwards, and she's always been lovely to me, really. But there was something about her seeing this personal thing that I wrote that was inspired by her, and that I wrote about myself, and that I performed, that having her support for that, and then my next show really meant something to me on a very deep level. I feel really, really grateful that I've had that experience. You know, I mean, especially for someone who had a complicated childhood with their parents. I mean, to have your idol, you know, I mean, that's what the show's about, too. Yeah. I guess it's very meta.
And when is it going to be performed again?
The next Patty Issues is November 13th, and I have Bad With Money October 9th and December 11th. And those are in New York at the Duplex.
At the Duplex.
And I'm going to be in Palm Springs in November and hopefully back on a cruise ship in the spring. Whatever,
great.
You know, all that.
And you can go to your website.
BenRimmelauer.com or PattyIssues.com.
Okay, good.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You haven't seen it yet, right?
Not yet.
I saw both shows, and both are really, really wonderful nights in the theater. I mean, absolutely. First of all, they're hysterical. I was not expecting to be so moved by both shows.
Thank you.
And I think you're absolutely right. You don't have to be necessarily a huge theater fan, I think, to appreciate both the shows, because it's about meeting your idol and what happens when that relationship that you imagine comes to fruition.
I hope so. I mean, that was my intention, you know, and I have a really wonderful director I worked with on both shows named Aaron Mark, who also wrote and directed that show last season with Daphne Rubin-Vega and Panada Loca, and he has a new one now with Alison Fraser opening Squeamish, and he's just a genius. He's a genius writer. But as a director, he didn't co-write the shows with me, but he was a really, really, for me, necessary and crucial dramaturg and, you know, collaborator, and I love him, and I'm very grateful to him. The shows wouldn't be what they are, specifically in the way you mentioned, without having had him on board.
Oh, that's wonderful that he gets that, acknowledgement from you. Do you have a third show maybe down the pike at some point?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I'm working on a children's musical right now.
Oh, my gosh!
Do you guys know the book Who Needs Donuts? From the 70s by Mark Allen Stamity. He was a political cartoonist.
No.
He wrote Washington.
Okay.
That was a big thing he was known for. But I'm writing the book, and Lance Horn is writing the music and co-writing the lyrics with Adam Feldman.
That's great.
Who's known normally as a critic.
Yes, indeed.
But we're asking him to turn off his critical voice and come to play in the sandbox. But we're having a great time. It's a really fun story, and I love those guys.
That's really exciting. That's really, really exciting. Yeah. So I want to ask you, because you've got these wonderful lists that are out there, and that's how I first encountered Ben, was through these amazing Playbill articles. What musicals, all right, so here we go. What musicals are due for a revival that have not had one yet? Tell us, Ben.
It's hard. I mean, they're really, you know, I mean, they're Revolve. They're Revolve Spring
everything.
Awakening. I
mean, yes.
You know, it's everything. Is there much left that hasn't been revived? I mean, the shows
Cameron
I want to see.
Kirk is doing Into the Light pretty soon, which I think is very exciting.
Into the Light.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron is doing Into the Light. Do you know about Into the Light?
No.
Sorry. Into the Light.
I don't know about Kirk Cameron. He's not famous. I've never heard of him. That's not a successful career.
That's what I like to hear. The very Christian star of Growing Pains is going to do the very Christian musical, Into the Light.
I want you to know one thing guaranteed, though, so you know how not successful he is. I never masturbated to him in my childhood. That was not a thing that I ever did.
That's Alan Thicke, though, from Growing Pains, right?
I do that.
Sure.
As a kid, it would have been Kirk Cameron, and it was not.
See, that's something we
haven't...
I don't
want to give him the satisfaction.
You know what? I'm so happy you brought that up, and that's something we have not asked our guests yet.
Who
did you masturbate to? It has to be a musical theater, otherwise it doesn't count.
Stephen Bogardis.
Stephen Bogardis. Brent Barrett. David Carroll. Who else was up there?
Judy Kuhn.
Why not?
For our straight guys, Judy Kuhn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry for that belted D in someone else's story.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really what gets you going.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we should do our new podcast.
I don't know the gossip about, like, you know, I mean, like Milton Berle and stuff. Like, what? I don't know the stories about, like, John Reid and Alfred Drake.
Yeah, we never hear about their penis size.
Never.
We've heard about Fosse.
No, what? What do they say about Fosse?
That he was big or small.
What are these to do lines of?
Oh, I heard that. Lines of a certain drug were taken off of.
You know what? I don't like to mix food and sex. When I'm sober, but I used to do a lot of drugs. I never liked mixing drugs. I'd mix like do a line, go back to bed. But I eat the hamburger and then I eat the French fries. I'm not good at mixing stuff. You know.
I would mix. I would do some cocaine, then sing in my head and chest voice. That was.
Wish I could mix.
That was my mix.
I wish I'm like Joan Diener. Is that how you say her name? I'm very like dramatic shift into that.
You're like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so I don't even know how we got onto that.
Boy.
What you're saying is you want to do a list about which people are the most endowed on Broadway. That's really the next list.
No, I'm not a size queen. I'm really not, yeah.
Good for you.
I mean, I don't want something that, you know, is like so small it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Mm.
And look, I like to look at a big penis as much as it, but I don't. I there's no room at the inn, you know. I'm just like I don't know what to do with all that.
Yeah, Kevin. Is this a discussion you and your wife have a lot?
I can't imagine the phone conversation my mom's gonna have with me when she's like, "So you guys went off a little off topic on the."
Sorry. And what Ben is saying is that the actors in the Broadway community should be just as appreciated as those in the film and television community.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I have nothing else to say.
I just saw in terms of my surrender, and there's definitely two guys that just strip for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
I had no problem with it, though.
Wait, in Michael Moore's show?
Yeah.
The very end of the show.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, but yeah. The last 30 seconds are G-strips.
30 seconds?
Maybe this lasts for two minutes, but it's a full-on.
Speaking of Patrick Wilson.
See, that's what we want more of. Shows that need to be revived. That's how we got onto this.
Well,
topic.
I guess the Full Monty.
Full Monty.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Women on the Verge of Nurse.
So just David Yazbek show. We're just going to be.
I
love David Yazbek.
Me too. Five musicals that are underappreciated that everybody should know.
Well, I'll say it. I mean, Tell Me on a Sunday. You know, Take the Journey.
Okay.
I've
given them an advertising campaign.
So Tell Me on a Sunday. You get four more. You get four more.
Okay. I mean, I know it doesn't work, but I want them to just keep trying no matter how long it takes for Chess.
Chess.
Oh, yeah.
Good choice.
Good choice.
Very,
yeah.
very good choice.
And
starring Josh Groban?
Sure.
Sure.
I don't care about the guys in musicals.
It's really who's going to play Florence.
Who's going to play Florence?
And Svetlana for that one great song.
For that one great song. Yeah. I volunteer to be the trans Svetlana. Down the octave.
It's going to be great. So Tell Me on a Sunday,
Chess.
Three more coming
The
your
Wiz.
Way. Yes. Okay. Great choice.
Great choice.
Broadway version or a movie version where she's the New York school teacher?
Oh. I don't have an opinion so much on that. I don't know what the Broadway production looked like. I like the fact that it was set in Harlem. In the 70s.
I think the movie.
Music suits that.
Okay,
and I think that's
great.
What the setting should be.
Because the original musical was in Kansas.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want it
yeah,
in
you
Kansas.
Yeah, you like what the movie
I
did.
I want it
the
to be
great.
To match the music.
Okay.
Another show. In Trousers, I mean, you know, I know it doesn't make any sense, but I feel like if we all did the right drugs, it could work, you know.
The first of the Marvin trilogy.
Yeah.
Okay, from falsettos. And then you get one more, Ben.
One more.
Here it is.
Oh, God. I mean, it's like, if you would have asked me this when I was 17, I would have had, like, 3 pages of notes.
Same.
Yeah.
I've become such a vocals listener. You know, I'm so much more likely to be listening to, like, Pat Suzuki's, like, cabaret club albums than I am to Flower Drum Song.
Oh, that's really interesting. So wait, okay, so you get one more, and then I'm gonna ask you a question about Pat Suzuki.
Hallelujah, Baby.
Okay.
Tony Award-winning musical, which has not been revived yet.
Never.
Okay,
good
great.
One.
Okay, so going...
But with an all-white cast, no. Yes. All Asian.
All Asian.
Pandering.
You have to make up.
I want, what's her name, Aaron... Aaron, the Asian Aaron. What a fuck that. Anne Harada.
Anne Harada.
Oh, yeah.
Annie. Hallelujah, baby. Glory be.
That's really what I want to see.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Yeah. Okay, now you said you are more inclined to listen to Pat Suzuki's obscure cabaret act than you are Flower Drum Song.
I beg to differ with obscure, but go on.
Right. Okay, great. or obscure for us because we know her mostly from Flower Drum Song.
Right. And so. I saw her as Bloody Mary in a production of South Pacific with Sandy Duncan and Michael Nowry at Long Beach Civic Light Opera in the early 90s. I graduated.
I remember Long Beach Civic Light Opera.
Oh, it was major for me.
That was a big one, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of those L.A. venues that we really liked.
Oh, wow.
It was the whole shebang.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Did you ever go up to Santa Barbara Civic Light Opera?
No, I wish I had, though.
It was cool.
That's where, like, Jen Colella got started,
I
right?
think so, up in that area, yeah. But Long Beach Civic Light, that was a big one. That was a big one. Sorry, we were just walking through L.A. memory lane. Yeah, walking through
nothing
yesterday.
Nothing fascinates me more than mid-late 20th century summer stock and, like, civic light opera.
The stars that used to go out and do all of that
stuff. Like the Kenley Players and stuff.
I think I would rather see Florence Henderson in The King and I than any other performance in the history of musical theater.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You look at
with Ricardo Montalban.
Yes.
And, like, Robert Goulet or Carol Lawrence starring in something.
Always. Robert Goulet and Carol Lawrence in Fiddler. Robert Goulet and Carol Lawrence in Evita. I want it all. Aspects of Love.
Sacramento Music Circus. Little Abner. It's really.
Fiddler on a Roof. Yeah. Sounds crazy, no? But in our little village of Antifka.
Oh my God.
Come here, hotel.
Him opposite B. Arthur, the two of them together, with her not singing the last notes of every song, and him just speak singing. So, you know?
That would be great. Bitty, bitty, bitty bum.
That's like Scott.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Shecky Green. What? Shecky Green.
What?
No, he'd be the rabbi.
He's the rabbi. Just does his own set. Yeah, but all of that wonderful stuff has sort of gone away. The civic light operas are going away.
Let's bring it back. You don't get stars spending the time to do that because they can make more money on film and television.
Well, I remember when I went to see Patti LuPone in Gypsy at the Ravinia Festival. Mm. It was during her war with Arthur Lawrence, and she couldn't, by contract, because he had approval, she could not star in any first-class production of Gypsy. And I remember thinking, but that's my girl. She'll star in a second-class production of Gypsy. And I want to see more second-class productions of Gypsy.
I agree.
I agree 110%.
Always.
I
almost drove up to see Julia Murney in Gypsy in, was it a Gunquit?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And
yeah,
my friend
yeah.
Caroline was Gypsy.
Caroline Bowman?
Yes.
Former student.
Oh, she's brilliant. We're in acting class together.
Are you really? Yeah. Oh, my God. Tell her I said hi.
I will. She's so pretty.
Yeah,
she's talented.
Can do no wrong in my book.
That's in my Spank Bank. All her, like, Elphaba videos.
Oh, she's so good.
Yeah,
God, totally. She's so good. Where did we get off on topic? Where did I get off topic again? It was the Robert Goulet and Fiddler that threw me.
No,
I'm sorry.
You get
I'm
excited. Sorry.
I love your Robert Goulet.
They'd be a perfect couple. Motel and hotel. All right, this is when Spritzer comes down and sings for a little bit, right? I'm going to take a break.
Speaking of Spritzer.
We're talking about the summer stock era.
Oh, and that all of that going away. But
I want winter stock.
No, but what you were saying was that, you know, okay, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to assume if I were going to ask you who your favorite Mama Rose is, that you would say it was Patty.
Yes,
okay, so let's imagine she never played the role. Who would then be the favorite?
Okay, well, it's hard because, I mean, the ones I've seen were Patty, Bernadette, Betty. I usually lie and say I saw Tyne, but since we're friends here, I'll just be honest. I have only seen Tyne on video.
But it's incredible.
It's incredible.
It is awesome.
And I feel like, I know there's people that feel this way and people that don't, but I feel like I'm probably an Angela Gypsy person, but I wasn't born, I'm proud to tell you. So, you know, it's because I have so much information about Angela and about Tyne and about Merman and Mary McCarty and Linda Lavin. You know, I feel like it feels weird to choose from the ones. You know, it's like when is my favorite Evita like Elena Roger or Valerie Perry? Well, don't I get to choose Patty? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I guess basically, I don't know. I mean, I love them all. You know, I can't imagine anyone being more terrifying and psychological than Betty. You know. And I thought, Bette Midler was just, like, sexy and funny. I watched that movie 1,000 times.
Oh, same too.
You know?
Same. Which, I'm sorry, I think that's a very good version
totally.
Of
Gypsy. I don't know why it gets such a bad rap.
People shit on it all the time.
And the supporting cast, Christine Ebersole, Andrea Martin.
Yes.
Ed Asner, Michael Jeter, like, all these
brilliant.
Random great stars that show up.
Totally.
And you know that Barbara Harris was supposed to be one of the three strippers?
No.
Yeah, and then she dropped out. I can't remember who replaced her.
So that was Linda Hart got the gig.
Maybe. Maybe, but it was supposed to be Barbara Harris. How cool would that
Patty
have been?
And Patty threw a patch of dirt in Linda Hart's face and said, that's as close to Mama Rose as you'll ever get.
She's a vicious woman. She's a vicious woman. What was I going to ask you? Oh, my God, I'm having so much fun.
Yes.
I can't say why I'm having so much fun. But we're having so much
fun.
It's
a good time.
It's a good time for one and all. Okay, so we've discussed Gypsy. And you said that your next club dates, like the goddamn Carson show.
Well, my actual next club dates, my next dates of any kind, which are club dates, is October 1st, Sunday, October 1st at 54 Below.
Great.
I'm the MC of 54 Sings Rufus. It's an evening of Rufus Wainwright.
Yes.
Alice Ripley, Andy Mientis, Wesley Taylor, Taylor Trench, Nick Barish, Clark Thorell, Casey Sheik, Dave Thomas Brown.
This is great. And so you can get tickets. It's October 1st. Get tickets on the Feinstein's 54 Below website. Cool. And then Patty Issues is coming back to New York again on
November 13th.
November 13th.
And October 9th is Bad With Money.
Have you?
Oh, and I have a comedy show at the Duplex in December, me and John Hill, called Two Hand Job.
See what you did there.
December 10th and 11th.
I'll be there both nights.
It's
going
to
be good. Do you like John?
I do.
Or you like handjobs?
It's a, you know what? And I like you. So it's a
everybody
combination.
Wins.
Everybody is winning here. Everybody's winning here.
And the fewer people show up, the more handjobs you get. Because we've got to fill 60
it's
minutes.
Simple math.
It's really simple math, people. I love a show where you get a good hand job. Have you seen Time in the Conways yet? They don't give you.
Come from away.
You get come from away. There he goes. That's it. Come. Dirty.
Hello, Dolly.
Hello. I put my hand in where?
I put my hand in where?
Rob just winked so subtly and sexy, I don't know what to do with
myself.
I got
a penny in my pocket.
Oh, here he goes again.
I love penny in my pocket.
Rob's obsessed with
it. Right?
The Tonys, it was a really, it gave, people are so angry at that song because of the Tonys, and it's not fair.
I think the song is wonderful. I think David Hyde Pierce does a fantastic job.
It's on your shower mix, Rob.
It is on my shower mix. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's you sing in the shower.
Well,
yes.
I have a playlist of 5 songs when I shower, and the first one is Penny in
but
My Pocket.
But just, like, in your voice.
Yeah.
You don't have it playing.
Oh, no, I do have it playing.
For what?
Oh, because that's how I time my showers. I take 5 songs.
You can't trust your own internal metronome to...
I know. We've had this conversation before.
No, not really.
My medley of Maybe This Time and Anything But Lonely... If I'm not shaving or shampooing, that's a whole shower.
We're done.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Well, I don't shampoo, so you think I'd be in there for less time?
But you're actually in there for a while.
There's a lot
5
of
songs.
What
really
are the other 4
time.
Songs?
Well, it's Penny in My Pocket. It's Inspiration from a Party with Betty Comden and Adolph Green.
I mean, those are the deep cuts that I came
it's,
here for.
It's Waving Through a Window. Waving Through a Window is like the third one.
I mean, naturally.
Then
he's not singing that. Then
then it's like, well, you've got...
Ben Platt. he's saving it.
Tell Ben not to worry. I've got it. And my last two today were Something Wonderful I Missed from I Love My Wife. And then the last one was Nancy Lamott singing Rhode Island is Famous for
oh,
You.
Oh, yes.
So it's a
you
nice...
Kill me.
Pencils
well, you
come from Pennsylvania.
Right?
You know,
Best
Nancy
from
Lamott.
Best Virginia. And Tense from Tennessee.
Oh, she was so wonderful.
She was. We did a whole episode about her because
I have to listen to it. I haven't heard
I her. Did not... I feel really out of the loop because everyone knows about her and I had heard her name.
You're very young, darling.
But still, I had heard her name a few times and I thought, well, maybe I should just give it a listen. And I got one album and then it was just another album
That's
and
what
another
happens.
Album. Yeah, and I just went down the rabbit hole with her.
She's really
but God,
special.
She's... Who was the one that you said ends... His radio broadcasts with every
Jonathan Schwartz
every week said, and I didn't know that I did not know that. So you've got a lot of stuff coming up. I hope you'll come back to us at some
Are you
point.
Kidding? I'm just gonna stay here, and next time you guys come, I'll already be here.
That's
it'll be me and Tova.
Man. man, what a combo.
What a, that's really what I want to see. Tova Feldshuh and Ben Rimmelauer in same time next year at the Long Beach Civic Light Opera.
God, from your mouth to God's ears.
That's really what I want.
Six dance lessons.
Six dance lessons in 6 weeks.
You flatter me.
Starring Ben Rimmelauer and Tova Feldshuh. With Eat Robert
your heart out, Bristol Riverside. I've got your seasons. Your
going
seasons
back to Mama
Rose
really quickly, and then we're going to end the podcast so we can let this man go on with his date.
I did have you, nothing to do.
Did you? Well, I'm sure there's an angry Meisner group that wants to come in here and yell to each other. I'm wearing a blue shirt. You're
wearing a blue shirt.
All right. All well, right. This has been so much fun.
You guys are fun.
Ben, obviously, we will do this again.
Oh, yeah. You're coming back.
Any time. And if, God forbid, something should happen to one of you, feel free to con me to spell for the other one.
Oh, my God. That would be great. We've got a cover. Okay, so Ben covers for Rob and Kevin.
Yeah, I'm the swing.
He's the swing. It's in his contract. And then Linda Muggleston goes on for Kevin's on Tuesdays. It was supposed to be Donna, but you know.
I was with a friend the other night. He was asking me about Donna Murphy, and he kept saying Donna goes on. Which of the forms Donna goes on? I'm like, she doesn't go on. Yeah. She does Tuesdays. I'm not a Bette Midler apologist, but you can't make it like Bette's missing the show.
Right, no. Those are Donna's.
But I do wonder how many performances a week Bernadette will go on for.
All eight.
I heard all.
They already announced.
Well, no, I mean in actuality.
Oh, in reality.
Yeah.
I bet
you. Can I tell you something? I'm very excited to see her do it. I'm really more excited to see Victor Garber.
Really? That's such a queer thing to say.
He just bounced, too.
Everyone loves Victor Garber. No one doesn't love Victor Garber. But, I mean...
But to see him back on Broadway as Horace Vandegelder?
It's true.
I'm very excited. Back where he belongs.
You can go see Linda Muckleson. I'll be there for Bernadette and only for Bernadette.
All right, I got to go get my tickets.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
I got to pee.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.